A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning.
You ready for Christmas?
Yes,
we have about a week and some
couple
change.
Days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not much time.
No.
It's amazing how fast a month can go.
I can see next weekend is going to be filled with holiday baking.
Holiday baking.
Yes.
Mine's going to be filled with wrapping. I am not really
That's
fond.
My goal this week is to get it all wrapped and
get
done.
Get everything wrapped up.
Yeah.
No, I know when I was a kid, December dragged forever.
Yes,
and now
that's what happens when you're a kid and you're so anxious. Now, as an adult, when you have so much to do,
mm-hmm.
not just, you know, the waiting like kids do, now it's, you know, hurry up and panic. I remember growing up as a kid, my mom wrapping presents until like 3 o'clock in the morning and waking up Christmas morning and hearing her and dad talk about how she got like 2 hours of sleep. But everything under our tree was very color coordinated.
Well, that's cool.
Everything had big bows. I mean, it's no wonder it took her hours.
One that I remember is my kids were little. I think it was their first Christmas that they were going to be cognizant of it. You know, they were born in November. So the first one, not a real big deal. But the second one, it's going to be big.
Yeah.
So we got them those little, there were Pampers points or something where you buy a bunch of diapers.
Yeah.
We had twins.
Yeah.
And so we bought a bunch of diapers and we could get things, turn those points in.
Right.
And we got those little electric Jeeps, two of them.
Okay.
And I put those together and I thought that was going to just fly and it didn't. I was up till 3-4 in the morning, put them up, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm ready for the kids to experience the joy of these Jeeps.
Right.
And my wife said, don't wake the kids up.
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, this is what you do for Christmas. We have photos of the kids slumped over in these Jeeps screaming their lungs out because they're so mad they're awake.
Uh-huh.
It was a real letdown.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's the
good
joy.
Job, Dad.
Got a week to go. Everybody start wrapping.
Exactly.
Now, we don't have as much time left in the show now because I've rambled on and on. So
imagine
we might
that.
As well get to what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
This week, we've got a million paint projects that everybody's going to want to jump into right away. Right, don't we?
Oh, sure.
Because who wants to jump into a paint project? Right now.
Right.
Now, we know that paint projects probably are not the
at
key
the top
thing
of your
on,
list.
On your radar right now. But a lot of our homes have little areas where touch-ups done the right way are going to go a long way.
Yeah.
So we've got some projects and some tips, basically 5-minute things that will help you do touch-ups the right way on your walls and trim to make those look great and not really take a whole lot of time.
Right. We've also got a vet coming in, and he's going to tell us how to keep our pets safe during the holidays because it is possible to see a little uptick in how many of our pets visit the vet after Christmas.
Right. So you're going to want to listen to that. And we're also going to be in the studio with a couple of appliance repair guys from West End Appliance, and we're going to talk about some appliance debates.
Yes.
One of them, just to tip you off, what is the right thing when it comes to dishwashers? Do you rinse the plates off really well before you put them in?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you put them in with food on them?
Yeah, which side are you on?
Yeah, we'll find out which is the right one in a little bit.
Right.
But right now,
yes.
Because everybody's in a scramble to get things ready,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're trying to get presents, we're trying to get this figured out. Well, another thing that happens is cleaning
Ooh,
has to happen.
Oh, big time.
You know, we've got guests coming.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd go through some of the items that we carry at Repco Light that we think will do great double duty. They're great cleaning products, even though they might have another purpose.
Right. My favorite thing of all time that we have in the store.
Wait a minute. This is your favorite thing of all time?
This is my favorite thing because it...
My
it,
favorite thing is like the money in the till. If I could choose one thing to take home with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If money ever disappears, I'm in big trouble.
Yes, you are. Because now you just blasted it to everybody.
That was stupid.
No, one of my favorite things in our stores, it's kind of a multi-purpose thing. It's called a Worcester Dust Eater, and it's actually made for cleaning drywall dust off after you've sanded new drywall. Mm-hmm. It's a triangular-shaped, about 16-inch head. It's kind of like
a dust mop floor or something.
Yeah, it just attaches to an extension pole so you can reach all the way up to the ceiling and things like that. But it is fantastic for cobwebs and things like that, because my vacuum, the hose does not reach to the ceiling, and it takes forever, and I hate dragging it around the room. This attaches to an extension pole, and it takes care of everything.
You can cover a lot of space fast.
Yep.
You can take that cover off and wash it.
Yep.
and it works really well for the drywall. And that's what's cool about it. You can use it for multiple things.
Right.
Really, all kinds of purposes. That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like that. When you're dusting, you know, speaking of that, another thing that's really good, we've talked about it before, and it really sounds kind of dumb, but a paintbrush, an old paintbrush, is perfect for dusting. If you want to save time, and you brought this up probably a year ago. I don't remember exactly when we talked about it. It was your idea. And I thought it was a dumb idea.
Of course you did.
I thought you were really stretching.
Yeah.
And then I tried it. And I thought, oh, crud. She's smarter than I thought.
Yeah. Now every time we're sitting in the studio, I see you with your little paintbrush
Because
out.
I used to have trouble. You know, you try to dust something. Like we've got a soundboard with all these little knobs.
Right.
You can't dust that thing without resetting everything.
Yep.
Well, with the brush, I can get all of that dust off.
Yeah.
And nothing changes. So I've used it on electronics. I've used it on mini blinds.
Well, yeah.
It's super for getting the dust and stuff out of the mini blind. You can fly way faster than anything else I've used.
It's also great for all those little knick-knacky things you don't want to have to pick up and dust each one individually. Go over it with a paintbrush and you're done in no time.
Yeah, and one cool thing that you can get, we've got a brush extender, I believe it's called. Is that
what
it's called?
Yeah, or a holder or something. It holds the brush onto an extension pole.
Right. You screw it onto an extension pole and it's got this little clamp on the end.
Yep.
And you put a brush in there, and now you can reach even higher.
Yeah,
so,
crown molding, things like that. Yeah, you can get it all
really
dusted.
Works. So if you've got an old paintbrush at home, a China bristle or a natural bristle works better than a synthetic.
Yep.
Try it. You want to make sure it's a dedicated brush. You don't want to then go and start doing touch-up
paint. Yeah, no.
That'll be a problem.
Yes.
But still, it's a really good use for an old paintbrush.
Right. Another thing along the same lines of dusting, we have something called Guardsman Furniture Cleaner and Polish. And I love this product instead of some of the cheaper ones that we have traditionally used. This one's great because it has no silicones or waxes in it, so it's not going to change the sheen of your furniture because some of those cheaper ones, as they build up, they change the sheen.
Right, the wax, and then it gets dirtier quicker.
Yeah, it
attracts
the dust.
Doesn't change the finish.
Nope.
There's no waxes, no abrasives, no silicones.
Nope.
It will clean off what you've got.
Right.
And get you down to a good surface, and then you can just maintain it with this Guardsman cleaner. It's recommended by furniture makers.
Yeah.
And it's really not that much more expensive than some of the cheaper things that actually can, you know, make your furniture not look quite as good.
Right. It works way better, though. One last very quick thing. Wallpaper pump-up sprayers. It's like a garden sprayer, except way smaller.
Yeah, it's a handheld garden sprayer.
Yeah.
It is really cool. It's for applying wallpaper stripper to a wall.
Right, but I love having these in my home instead of a regular sprayer for whatever, cleaners, window cleaners, things like that. This is so much better because my hand doesn't get tired.
Right, you pump it up, and now you can spray and spray and spray. I use that on the floor with like a Swiffer Wet.
You thought I was crazy when I told you to try it.
I did. I whipped one out and tried it. Works really well. I should start to just realize you're smarter than you look.
Oh, I thank you.
Anyway, we've got a lot of different cleaning supplies and things like that that will do double duty.
Right.
And the lines are going to be way better at our stores than some of the other stores right now. So if you do have some cleaning to do, stop out at any Repco Lighter Port City Paints. We'll help you.
Right. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to settle the age-old debates on appliances. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, let's talk appliances.
Okay.
Those are always good things to talk about on a home improvement show.
Right.
And so we're in the studio with Joe Rogers and Scott Hofstetter from West End Appliance, and they're going to help us with kind of just some age-old questions and debates that happen in the home about appliances.
Right. Now, just before we get started, I want to clarify, it's West End Appliance, but these guys do repairs. They don't have a huge showroom with a bunch of appliances in it. They just do the repairs. They can direct you if you need a new appliance.
Right. They've got sources if you need something.
Right.
But their main job, their main gig is fixing the stuff we've got.
Yes.
Joe and Scott, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Well, what we want to talk about are some of the things that people potentially debate, argue about at home, revolving around appliances. Because I know at my house, we either fight about board games or appliances.
Right.
We can talk about board games, too.
So we got a whole range of things. But let's start with Thanksgiving. We go to somebody's house. We have an enormous meal. Tons of dishes. Everybody eats. And then it's time to clean up. The big argument, the big debate. How much do we have to wash of these dishes before we actually put them in the dishwasher? Help us with that. Right. What is the right answer? Who's right. right here?
So the new modern dishwashers are, with the new energy standards, are a lot more, they can't use as much water, but the detergents are much better. So it has come to the point now that they say that you want it basically butter knife clean. So scrape your dishes, but do not wash them ahead of time. The detergents don't activate correctly unless that there is ickiness and grossness to you know, activate the detergent that gets it all activated and that makes it wash a lot better. So if you're having poor wash performance and you rinse your dishes ahead of time, that could be the reason why.
Yep. They're enzymatic. They need something to eat. And you actually can cause your racks to rust. They'll start attacking your dishwasher if you clean your dishes too much before putting them in.
Did you expect anything like that kind of an answer?
No, I didn't, because I wondered why my dishes don't come out super clean. And I noticed my grandma's dishwasher, which I think is newer than mine, her dish rack in there, and she's a notorious, I'm going to wash it first, it has rusted completely through in a spot. That would explain it.
So really, the laziest among us are doing it probably the right way.
Well, we don't want to put too much chunks in there.
So I can't put the whole cake in there.
Right, you don't want to, you want to avoid that.
Right.
Yes.
They have soft food disposals. They don't have full garbage disposal in them any longer.
Right, and the drain pumps in your modern appliances aren't as strong as the old stuff. So if you put all the chunks in there, you're going to clog your drain system up, and then you're still going to call us.
Do you end up with repairs for those kinds of things?
Yeah. The most common dishwasher repair is probably stuff caught in the pump and stopping the impeller. If a glass breaks, I don't know how it happens, but the glass inevitably will make it through all of the filters and end up in the impeller of the drain pump. So.
All right.
Now, when you say new or modern dishwashers, what is new? Like, how many years old is new?
So I would say probably within the past 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would be considered newer okay. models with newer standards.
Yeah. So the right thing to do is to scrape it, like you said, butter knife clean. Mm-hmm. So I scrape the stuff onto the floor. Onto the garbage.
Here, dog.
Well, now we know how my home works.
Yep.
Into the garbage or wherever. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to rinse it. I just put it in the dishwasher.
Correct. Yep.
But all doesn't right. the food dry on? Or is it going to take care of that? The dishwasher will take care of that dried on food.
There are, of course, some things that dishwashers don't like egg yolk. That stuff turns into cement if it dries on your plate. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes a pretty special dishwasher to get that stuff off there.
Okay.
So you got to still use your common sense.
Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, you know, if you do just leave the gunk on there and get rid of the chunks, you're good.
All right.
So
we're in the studio with Joe Rogers and Scott Hostetter from West End Appliance, and we're talking about some of the different questions that arise in a home on mm-hmm. a regular basis in
yes.
regards to appliances. Another one that I know is a common debate is the whole old versus new. You know, when is it worth repairing mm-hmm. and when is something in need of replacement?
So I guess that decision is getting harder, I would say, because
oh, good. That's good.
Right? Appliance manufacturers seem to be currently making them more disposable.
Mm-hmm.
They're more disposable now.
Right. The newer ones are more disposable. They're saying that current lifespan of a new appliances is between 7 to 10 years, and
oh,
then yeah, your average repair will be between 2 and 3 years. Your older
your first
appliances
average repair.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Your older appliances, you know, as we remember from kids, you know, your parents maybe had the same washing machine for 30 years. So a lot of people still have those older machines, and they think that if something happens that they need to get rid of them. Most of the time, those older machines are more repairable and are going to last you longer than if you were to get a new machine.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. So if you fix that old machine, again, generally speaking, you could very much get another huge chunk of time out of it, depending what the issue is, where the new machine, you know, we might see in another 2 to 3 years. Again, the overall lifespan is only 7 to 10.
So we'll come out and we will assess your problem. We will look at the overall health. If we think, like, you know, this little fix is going to work, but, you know, 3 months from now, you're going to have another, we're going to let you know that and say, you know, this one might not be the best to continue on with life, but we'll also tell you the other way.
Right.
Right.
Or it is just, this thing's gone. Unfortunately, it's time to move on to...
Another factor is just how much do you like your machine? If it's one of those machines in your house that you just hate to use, then why put money into it?
Right.
It doesn't really
right.
matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want people using a machine and thinking, why did West End Appliance fix this dang thing and have to use it for another few years, you know?
So. But if it's in all your Christmas cards with you and you really feel that way about it.
Right, exactly. Absolutely.
Keep that thing running.
Yeah, wow. If you got that harvest gold avocado green that's in all your pictures, then yeah, keep it going.
I know when ours went, it was quite a moment. It was like losing a pet.
My grandma's going to have that problem because she has a fridge
you
that
get
is
attached to
almost
these
50 years old now.
Those are cool.
And it is still going. Yep. Her new fridge broke and she had to get a new one. The old fridge is still running.
Yep. Yeah. So along those lines, you had a question, Betsy, that you were asking ahead of time about warranties.
Yeah, we're always, when you go to buy an appliance, they always want to sell you the extended warranty. And I never know, is it really worth it? I mean, you have a manufacturer's warranty that lasts however long, but then, you know, extended 2, 3, 5 years, whatever they are. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, such a complicated question.
Yeah, it's what she does. It's tough work. Yeah.
Right, this is a... I mean, obviously, it comes down to that particular warranty. Most of the time, I would say I don't like extended warranties.
See, I go the other way with it a little bit. So,
You're going to fight?
Ooh!
Well, see, I think it depends on how much you're spending on the appliances. You have to know what you're getting. But, you know, if you're spending $3,000 on a French door refrigerator, as they're between anywhere from $1,200 on up, you know, then, yeah, get the extended warranty because you're going to have a repair in that 2 to 3 years, you know.
Okay.
But you got to understand that appliances, especially the big box stores, they'll take a loss on the appliances. They make all their money on the extended warranties. So, you've really got to go in there knowing that they want to sell you that because that's where they're making their money. So if you're buying a low-end washing machine or a low-end appliance, don't buy it. You know, it's going to only last you the 5 to 7 and the below the average anyway. But if you're buying something where you're spending some money, then even I would say that it's probably smart to do that, even though that takes money out of our pockets. But
Scott is groaning, right? Gripping the table.
I mean, we do a lot of work for extended warranty companies. And not, I said, there are, I don't know, hundreds of warranty companies out there, the home warranties and... Like I said, the manufacturer warranty is going to be 1 year. We're going to get 1 year. The amount that we see break in that 1 year is kind of crazy, but they must know that as well. But I just, to me, I feel like the extended warranties a lot, when you actually read them, are like, well, it covers all of this, but it doesn't cover the stuff that actually breaks.
Oh.
So I always feel like somebody calls it, we go out for an extended warranty, and then people are upset that now they have to pay extra money because... You know, this wasn't covered under their particular...
Okay, with what they thought they were getting. So really, it comes back to research and asking questions and making sure...
Well, find out what breaks the most and then find out if that warranty is going to cover it when it does break.
Well, just know that they're trying to sell you in the store. You know, again, that's where they make their money. So, yeah, I mean, it's... One of the just read the fine print. Know what you're buying.
Be informed.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Betsy. That's you're still up in the air.
Uh-huh.
The extended warranty debate will probably go on a while after humanity has ceased to be here.
Yes, I would still be debating this. Yes.
Well, that's all the time we've got. If our listeners want to get in touch with you guys at West End Appliance, ask questions, maybe get you out to their house to help them, how's the best way they can get in touch with you?
They can either call us directly. Our phone number is 616-791-7585. That's 616-791-7585. Or they can also send us a web submission at westendappliance.com. I almost said at gmail.com, which is our email address. Yeah. So that way, too, direct email is westendappliance@gmail.com. So
westendappliance.com. They can find you there. Great reviews.
Yep.
Check them out. Joe and Scott from West End Appliance. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, coming up after the break, we're going to find some ways to keep our pets safe during the holidays. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
And we're back. We're glad you're out there listening, starting your Saturday morning with the Repco Light Home Improvement Show. Can you think, Betsy, of a better way to... Yes, I can think of several. But this is still, like, you know, sea level. Pretty good, right? Sea as in, you know, not the ocean or the sea.
Wow, are you done talking yet?
You're excited about this segment. Why don't you just take over for a minute?
I'm excited because as...
You know, A level, B level, C level.
I got it.
I'd say we're about B level, solid B.
Are you
Go
done?
Ahead. Go ahead.
Holy smokes. I am excited because, as a lot of people know, I absolutely adore my dog. And that's why I've asked Dr. Jim Bader from the Mapleview Animal Hospital in Holland to stop by and have a little chat. Dr. Jim, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. Now, today, with the holidays coming up, we want to talk about pet safety because I'm guessing that you may see a slight uptick in certain things around Christmas and New Year's time.
Oh, yes, we do. Most of it is inappropriate ingestion or garbage can toxicosis, whether the dog or cat gets into the waste basket by accident or is fed too much from the table.
And so
and so. Yes, the gas fee. Oh, look at Buffy. Oh, do you want this piece of pizza? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
So, yes, we see a dramatic uptake in the dietary indiscretions during the holiday season.
Now, is that because we're feeding them stuff that maybe normally they're not eating, or is it because they're actually eating things that are bad for them, like poisonous to
them? Well, usually it's things they're not used to eating, okay. But you always have to avoid some of the food groups. Grapes or raisins are bad.
Okay.
Some avocados can be bad. Macadamia nuts can cause a little bit of upset. So it's more, and these lists are out there on websites, and they're really accurate on what not to feed your pet. But most of the time it's because they're getting something that they're not used to.
Are there things that are safe for them to eat, you know, around the holidays if you want to feed them a special something?
Because it feels like they're getting gypped.
It
you know, they got this bowl full of whatever.
Everything is safe in moderation. You know,
okay.
You know, it's just a little piece of the skin off the turkey or a little bit of the ham, not the 12-ounce portion of either one.
Okay.
So that's where you have to be careful.
What about wrapping and Christmas trees
Is that a
problem?
That can be a problem, too. We run into some issues. You know, the old tinsel that the people would put on the trees.
Oh,
well, the
yeah.
cats love to chew on those. And those are pretty interesting because they usually get stuck somewhere in the mouth or in the intestine. You're talking surgery to remove them. We've had a few dogs eat ornaments on occasions.
Oh.
And
like
not glass ones. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do then?
That
sounds terrible.
Well, actually, it's not
I've got the Jimmy legs right now.
Actually, it's not too bad because what you do is actually you feed the dog a few pieces of white bread. The cheapest white bread you can buy because the bread binds to the sharp edges and helps it pass on through.
Really?
So it's really just a simple fix, yeah. And then anytime an animal ingests something they're not supposed to, if they stop eating, chronic vomiting, yada, 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 it's
right.
time to make a phone call, definitely.
Well, I know my dog is notorious for snatching napkins for whatever reason. She thinks that is a fun thing.
Poor training. It's poor ownership skills.
No, because she's good other than that. It just always makes me wonder about wrapping paper. Is she going to snatch that and do the same thing?
Possibly. Most of the time, wrapping paper, that'll partially digest and pass, so to speak.
Well, that makes me feel slightly better.
Yeah, the whole glass ornament thing, that, like I said, that really freaked me out, but you're saying, I'm sure you still make a phone call.
Oh, yeah, make the phone call.
Make the phone call.
Let's get it documented. Let's get the white bread in them, and then we'll just watch them, and most of the time that too shall pass. So,
what about stress on our pets? I know that some pets get really stressed out with all of the commotion and things like that. Is that something to be aware of?
Not only the commotion, but also change in schedules.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, hey, you know, the family's gone for 12 hours for 3 days because they have to visit Aunt Jenny and then Uncle whatever and
Leon.
All his family and off to that family.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog or cat, cats don't care. Cats are, you're back. Oh, feed me.
Shoot.
Yeah. The dog, I mean, it disturbs
right.
their walking schedule, their bathroom habits. You may see an uptick in napkin stealing because they're bored, you know, or they get a little mischievous because they're not getting what they're used to. So you have to go ahead and make sure you're aware of that too. And there are some dogs and cats, mostly dogs, occasionally cats, at this time of year we actually recommend some of the medications to help take some of the stress out of that, because not only will you see an uptick in behavior issues, dogs and cats can also get stress related vomiting or diarrhea. So all of a sudden all this stuff's going on, and next thing you know the dog's making a mess in the house and oh my gosh, I have guests coming over in half an hour and how do I get the carpet cleaned?
Then I need medication for stress when that happens.
Yes.
At first, I was not.
And the
sure
carpet can never be used
that.
Again.
You might as well happens. Just take it outside and burn it.
New
burn
carpet.
It, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Burn down the house yes. because it's no good anymore.
Got to get new.
Yeah, exactly. We are in the studio with Dr. Jim talking about things to keep our pets safe during the holidays. Now, I want to shift into... It's kind of has to do with the holidays, being that I assume snow will come and stick around at some
eventually.
Point.
Eventually.
So when it does, there are things out there that say pet safe ice melts, but then you read and some people say, oh, that is not pet safe. So what are we looking for and how do we make sure our pets don't get sick from that?
And first, is the salt dangerous in the first place? Regular
it can be an irritant
ice melt.
To the skin, just regular ice melt just by sheer contact. And then if the pet licks it, it can be a GI, it can upset the stomach, you could get vomiting or diarrhea from it. So the pet safe ones generally are safe, but it doesn't mean you want to go ahead and take it and put 50 pounds down and have your dog walk through it and not wipe off their paws. I mean, again, everything in moderation. So we take a habit of when we use ice melt at my houses, we wipe down the dog's feet when they come back in, because you may not think about it, but later the dog's tracks it in, the dog's laying around, all of a sudden the house is bored, and the dog looks at its paws and goes, oh, what's that? And starts licking. So maybe a couple hours after the dog comes in the house, and then you don't make that association. So it's just a good idea, if you're out walking the dog and you know it's been through the ice melt, wipe down its feet when you come back inside.
Do you just wipe it with like an old towel or something, or do you actually...
I usually recommend a damp towel. Okay, yeah, that way you can get it off. Yep, any residue off. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what about salt from the roads? Like my dog, we quite often walk on the road, and I'm always a little concerned about road salt.
Well, that's just basically sodium chloride. So, and it has that blue color in it, so people know if you've stolen it from them. But otherwise, but otherwise, that's pretty safe too. But again, wipe it down. You know, if over ingestion of salt can cause some problems, so just table salt could cause problems. So just wipe your pet's feet down.
What about cracking and stuff like that with the paws because of things like that?
That's pretty common to see. And what I tell people to do is if you're starting to see an issue with that, go to the sporting store and get some of the tough skin that the climbers use on their hands.
All right.
And put that on the paws and help protect them that way. And then some people use booties. But, you know, my dogs, if you went to put a booty on them, they'd look at you like you're crazy. And some dogs get the booty paralysis. You put the booties on them and all of a sudden their legs don't work.
So. Yeah, I saw a video on Facebook where they did that to a dog and it was like a bucking bronco.
Oh yeah.
I don't know quite what to do with that.
They just go crazy with it. Yeah.
Okay, now at some point we'll get very, very cold, and my dog loves to be outside when it is cold, and I'm always worried, is there a certain point where she can be too cold? Because she doesn't have a house. I mean, she's an indoor dog, so there's
she doesn't
no...
have a dog house.
Right.
She has a house. She's not homeless.
Long hair or short hair?
She's a St. Bernard.
She's a St. Bernard, but a long... Gur-haired one.
Well, you know, she doesn't care. The snow will melt on her, and she doesn't care. She could be out there. So you know, if short-haired dogs, you know, my first rescue that I got involved with was greyhounds, and, you know, they have short hair and no body fat, so they're more prone to the cold. Mm-hmm. But a St. Bernard, I mean, she could probably be out there forever and not really care. So, again, it comes down to if common sense was common, people, it'd be a lot better world. But Just if it's too cold for you out there, it's too cold. With the jacket and everything, it's too cold for them.
Well, I was going to say, I'm always cold, but I was out there the other night, and it was like 16 degrees, and she was happy as a clam out there. Oh, yeah. I'm freezing.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
I think, I bet there is a tendency where a lot of people think they've got fur, they've got this and that, they're fine.
And the fur will insulate them, but if the fur gets wet, it loses its insulative property, and that's where you run into trouble.
Yeah.
I better keep her dry then.
Yeah, keep her dry. But she's more than happy out there, I'm sure.
But I bet if she's outside and snow's on her and you brush the snow off and get down near her skin and the undercoat is dry, it's just that top coat that's wet. It's when they get that soaking down to the skin that the hair loses its insulative properties.
Yeah, giving her a bath is always a chore because she is so... I cannot get the water to get underneath there to actually get her clean. So
yep, exactly.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yep. I'll take that. All right, Dr. Jim, if any of our listeners have any problems with their pet this holiday season, what can they do to get the help that they need?
Well, first of all, call your usual veterinarian, and this, and they will either, you know, if it's during office hours, they'll obviously help you. If it's after hours, they should have information on their phone, on their phone system, to see where you need to go or who you need to call if they're available. There are two really good emergency clinics in Grand Rapids that are 24 hours, 7 days a week, Animal Emergency Clinic and the Blue Pearl Clinic. So there is help 24/7. So unfortunately, animals get sick 24/7. So the veterinarians are available 24/7.
Dr. Jim, thanks so much for keeping our pets safe this holiday season.
You're welcome.
Now, when we come back, if you're hosting a Christmas party this year, you're in the 11th hour. There's not a lot of time left, probably not enough time to do any repainting, but we've got some quick tips to help you touch up your walls and trim that will have them looking great in no time. That's coming up next. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the Repco Light Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost. On News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, Betsy, as we said at the very beginning of the show today, Christmas is rapidly approaching. Now, for kids.
Yes.
Remember when you were a kid? Long, 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 long ago. How fun this was.
Yes, you can hardly wait. Come on, just hurry up and get here.
As a parent, oh my goodness, I want to put the brakes on.
Yep.
Because
there's too much to do.
So many things to do. You just want to enjoy the season.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like we don't get that opportunity.
Right.
And I know with all the different things, we got shopping that we convince ourselves we need to do that.
Right.
Or the wrapping.
Yep.
But then we look at our homes and we sometimes think, we're bringing in all these guests.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make this all look great and exactly the way I want it? And we know a painting project is relatively usually out of the question at this point.
Yeah.
I don't even want to do that.
No.
But I do want things to look good. And I do have a lot of little areas like dings on the walls or scuff marks on the walls. I should be painting with Scuff-X.
You should
be. And when I repaint, I will. That will eliminate or at least reduce those scuffs.
Right.
But a lot of us have those little dings in the walls.
Yeah.
And we've got some quick ways to fix them up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, touch-ups can be tricky sometimes.
Yeah.
You got to know a few things to pull it off.
Right.
But we can get you what you need right now so that in about 5 minutes or so, you can get these little spots fixed on your walls and even on your trim.
Right. The thing you have to remember is that you need to have realistic expectations for touching up areas. The best thing
sounds
to
like
do...
Sounds like a cop-out.
Well,
are you telling everybody to cop out?
No, I'm not telling them to cop out. Usually we recommend people paint corner to corner, so one entire wall. But we know that you probably can't do that this time of year.
The reason we do that is because the paint, when you get paint off of the shelf, even if it's the exact same paint, you know, from the can that you put on the wall a year ago, generally it looks a little different when you build it a little thicker on a small touch-up area.
Right.
It's usually lighter. It's usually a little cleaner. It can be a little shinier. So the spots tend to show. If you paint corner to corner, you can hide it.
Right.
And your eye can't carry the difference between the two walls.
Yep.
But when you've got little spots on the wall, you can see it. So normally that's what we're saying.
Yes.
But you can get by with just some quick touch-up stuff.
So make sure you're setting realistic expectations when you're doing this. We know you can't paint the whole wall right now, so this is the next best thing, just doing this little touch-up.
You might see a little bit of it, but it's going to generally hide it and keep it from your guests, at least.
Right. So the first step in touching up is to see if maybe cleaning it does the job. Sometimes it's just a little smudge, it's a little grease spot or something like that, and you can just clean it.
Yeah, don't go crazy until you know you actually have to go crazy.
Right.
Maybe cleaning it. I don't know how many projects I get into that I realize later, if I had just slowed down and assessed the situation first, maybe I wouldn't be where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Maybe it cleans right off.
Maybe it cleans right off.
If it doesn't, then you move into the next step.
Right. And the next step is to actually apply the paint. But the secret to doing a good touch-up is to use the same application method as was originally used. So if it was brushed on, you know, if it's trim or something like that, and it was brushed on, then use a brush. If it was rolled on, then obviously use a roller.
Right. Because each applicator leaves a texture behind.
Right.
And the texture plays into how it reflects light. In the end, it affects how the color appears.
Right.
Now, using a roller to do touch-ups, that seems way overkill. I've got just a small spot. Well, Wooster makes jumbo coaters. You can get them at any Repco Lighter Port City paint store.
They're not jumbo, by the way.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a really weird thing. Yes. It's like, I'm jumbo.
Right.
But that means I'm super tiny.
Right.
I don't get exactly. that, but it's cool. Yes. Anyway, these jumbo coaters are unique because they come with a variety of different covers you can buy.
Yep.
And each of those covers mimics exactly the other full-size covers that you can buy in nap and all of that.
Right.
So you can get the same look just with a tinier roller cover.
Right,
so,
4.5 inches, I think.
Yeah, yep. Get one of those to do these smaller touch-ups. If you have a very tiny touch-up.
Yeah, like the dime size or less.
Yeah, here is something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Get a Q-tip.
Yep.
And you get paint on that, and you just roll it between your fingers, you know, holding onto the little shaft of the Q-tip.
Yep.
Roll it. And the little tip of it will roll on the wall like a little tiny roller cover.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves a little tiny roller cover texture.
Right.
And it completely blends away.
Yes.
It can be a little pain because it gets a little stringy. You maybe move through a couple Q-tips.
Yeah,
I've done it. It works really well.
It does. Well, and the third secret to doing a really great touch-up on a wall or possibly painted trim is to make sure you're using very thin light coats. Our tendency is to pile it on so that it's done.
We want to make it go away in one application.
Right.
That's a mistake because you put too much on.
And then you do notice that it's a touch-up.
Yeah, it gets shinier.
Yep.
It could run. It could drip. A lot of different things could happen. Most noticeably, it just looks shinier and a little bit lighter. So feather it out so that it blends with the rest of the wall.
Right. Now, the fourth and last thing is to be patient when you're doing this. Take your time. Do it the way we just described, and you're going to have really great results.
And let it dry.
Yes.
Paint changes as it dries. A lot of people overreact and put extra coats on when they didn't need to. All they needed to do was let it dry. Now, quickly, if you have trim, wood trim, that's chipped up or dinged up,
and
you've got small little gouges or something like that, a really quick fix for that to make it look great again is just to stop in and get a gel stain.
Yeah, these are one of my favorite things for woodwork.
A real thick, pasty stain.
Yep.
You know, you could turn the can upside down and it won't drip out. It's that kind of a stain.
Yep.
Just get something similar, you know, close to the color you've got.
Yeah.
Put it on a rag. You buff it into the little gouged
just
areas.
Just real lightly.
It will settle into the grooves, into the nicks. It will color the wood just slightly. You wipe the excess off of the surface. If the spots are small enough, you don't need varnish or anything over top.
Yep.
It'll just make everything blend away. It's perfect.
Right.
Great way to make that trim look great again.
Well, and because the wood already has variations, if this is a little bit off, you're probably not going to notice it. So it's the best kept secret, I would say, for, you know, fixing your woodwork up
it
a little bit.
It works so well. You got to check it out. If you're not tracking with us exactly, or you're very interested but not sure how to pull that off, just stop out at any store and ask. Any Repco Lighter Port City paint store, we'll walk you through it. You can email Betsy and I at radio@repcolight.com. And that's pretty much it. That's all the time that's left. We've saved a few minutes to talk about the contest that you're going to want to know about.
Well, yeah, because who doesn't want to win $250 worth of paint and supplies to spruce up their family room from Repco Lighter Port City Paints, and $500 worth of games and puzzles from Out of the Box Games.
To spruce up your family night experiences.
Right. And on top of all of that, Out of the Box Games is giving the winner a free escape room package.
For up to six people.
Right. So you can go in there and sharpen up your mental skills.
Yeah. All kinds of great stuff to win that prize package.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost $900. It's over $900 worth of stuff. You just need to go to repcolight.com, click the banner on the homepage, and you can enter the contest.
Right.
You can go to our Facebook page and click the giveaway tab.
Mm-hmm.
Enter the contest.
Right.
You've got till December 22 when we'll announce the winner.
Yes.
So get out there and enter. And one way where you can get bonus entries is to enter the code word for December 15, which we give out on the radio. So only the listeners get this special tip.
Right.
Now, December 15's code word is Hollyberry. So get out there, enter the contest at repcolight.com or our Facebook page, enter Hollyberry for December 15, and you got five free entries into the contest.
Right. Now, if you've missed any of the past code words, you can go to repcolight.com and find them and then enter that way.
Right. They're right there. You just got to listen to the episodes and then get those code words and enter them. It's worth the little extra work because you've got five extra entries for each one of those into the contest.
Do it now because next Saturday we draw the winner.
I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we can help you make sure that whatever room you're entertaining in at least doesn't have the dings and scuffs on the walls.
Well, that's a bonus.
That's a bonus. Thanks for listening.